Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
It certainly is. And this morning we've got Chris Bainbridge in the studio. Morena, Chris, how are you?
Hey, good morning. Great, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks for coming up. So you are an honours student in science and you're working with 3D printing.
Yep, that's right.
Particularly looking at living resin. Is this the right way of describing it?
Living polymer materials.
All right, what does that mean? That sounds amazing, but I have those words just going in one ear and out the other. What does that mean, Chris?
Well, the livingness in this respect is a term that we've borrowed from biology.
Okay.
So what we're trying to do is imbue some of the characteristics that we like about biological materials,
mm-hmm.
but we can't use the biological materials themselves because they're just not easy to manufacture.
Okay. Yeah.
So we put them into synthetic materials.
So what kind of biological materials do you mean? Is it like chemical compounds or is it something like plants that we would recognise or something like that?
Yeah, things like plants, parts of animals in the human body,
mm-hmm.
anything. So some examples of these properties that we like.
Yeah.
So things like being able to modify something after we've made it,
mm-hmm.
is the key one.
Right.
So that includes physically growing it, being able to functionalize the surface, so give it some sort of reactive properties.
Mm-hmm.
And another one which we didn't initially intend but came along rather by accident was also the ability to self-heal.
Okay,
which is
wow.
That's incredibly useful.
So is this where like chemistry meets biology or is that like a no-go?
Yes and no.
Yeah.
We use biology partly as an inspiration.
Okay.
But we actually end up working more closely with engineering and mm-hmm. manufacturing. That's okay. Where we got into 3D printing.
Cool. Well, it sounds fascinating. How did you find yourself in this research area?
Well, during my undergrad, I decided I wanted to do my honours year.
Yep.
And so I approached a professor I liked,
mm-hmm.
my current supervisor, Dr. Jang Yong Jin, and he invited me to work over the summer with him.
Awesome.
And that's where we laid the groundwork for all this stuff.
That's fantastic. So what kind of uses in the real world would these living resins have, or do you envisage them having?
Yeah, so when we tried to think of exact applications mm-hmm. for this, we came up with all sorts of things. Variable sensors, soft robotics, implants, anything that you can use sort of current 3D printed resins
right.
for.
Yeah.
But you can have that extra ability to modify it.
That's yeah. amazing.
Further.
Yeah.
We then actually realized that it almost better serves to describe it as more of a platform than as a single application.
Okay, right.
Because the whole point is that we, to use the sensors as an example, we can mass 3D print these sort of basic sensor base,
mm-hmm.
and then people can then add on whichever reactive compound. So say you want to sense temperature change,
mm-hmm.
you add something that changes with temperature onto it.
Okay. So you've got your basic base and that's where this resin comes in. And
yes.
then you can add these other properties to it, sort of.
Yes, we can use a much newer side of chemistry called
mm-hmm.
photochemistry, which is where we shine light on things and
cool.
use that to provide the energy that we need.
Mm-hmm.
And we use this combined with whichever compound we want to insert into our 3D printed object,
mm-hmm.
and it chemically binds it to that compound.
Wow, cool. That's amazing.
And because we're using light, we can tune it to specific wavelengths.
Mm-hmm.
So all of our work, we've been trying to use visible light because it's less harmful than the UV light that
yes.
a lot of other work uses.
Yeah.
We've also been able to spatially control where we want to insert it.
Wow.
So you can insert something in a nice pattern.
Cool. So it can look a bit pretty as well.
Yeah.
That's nice. So it says, you've sort of said a little bit about how we might use it. I see here that also it's looking at maybe how we can think about recycling and reusing materials as well. What's this about?
Yeah, so the recycling is something that we've just started looking into. We ran a few sort of demonstration experiments for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be thought of as a more advanced form of the self-healing.
Right.
So what we did is we took our material, ground it up into lots of fine particles and little pieces, and we can then put them all squished back together, apply a little bit of pressure, shine it under a light, and eventually it all heals back together again.
Wow, that's amazing.
So in a sense, we could take something we've already made, grind it up, and then use some sort of mold to bring it into a new shape.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
Is that just using this living resin, or is there sort of a possibility that we might be able to use other plastics that already exist and stuff within this kind of compound?
We could potentially add the... So the key part of it is this active compound, which we call a raft agent.
Right.
And what the use of this is that it acts as the insertion point for all these new compounds that we want to add into it. So at the moment, we've chosen to use a basically modified version of a commercial resin. So we specifically chose one that was biocompatible because that allows us a bit more flexibility.
Yeah.
But we could use standard plastics as well.
Fantastic. Cool. This sounds so interesting. Living resin does sound like something you'd find in a kind of Frankenstein movie or something like this, but it is an amazing sounding thing. Are you imagining that this will be something that will be like commercially available in the future that people might be able to use in a day-to-day thing, or is it something that you're imagining will just be used within laboratories and things like that?
Well, obviously at the moment it's only used in laboratories.
Yeah.
But yes, we do really hope that it does make it out into the real world.
Yeah, it's always a good hope for science, eh?
Oh, yeah, obviously. Especially with just the broad range of applications that you could apply it to.
Fantastic. Well, it's been such a pleasure to chat to you, Chris. Thank you. A fascinating honours project within the Faculty of Science at the University of Auckland. Thank you for coming and chatting to us this morning.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Cheers.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn, thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.